1 year after the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, there have been a lot of calls around the nation for police departments to adopt body cameras for their officers, a technology that supporters say will help bring transparency to the police profession. Here in Wisconsin, law enforcement has been grappling with the issue in the wake of the fatal shootings of Milwaukee's Dontre Hamilton and Madison's Tony Robinson.
Our next guest says that while body cameras are a good idea, there are still questions out there to be answered. He says local governments are contemplating spending millions of dollars without an understanding of how to best use the technology. And he's calling on state officials and law enforcement to develop best practices for these cameras before making the investment.
Joining us now is Samuel Hall. He's a partner at Crivello Carlson SC and a police civil rights attorney. He recently explored this issue in an op-ed for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rob. Glad to be here with you.
So the use of body cameras seems to be one of the biggest discussions in law enforcement these days, and you say you are all for officers wearing them. Why is that?
Sure. Well, you know, I think these body cameras are here to stay. They're not going to solve all of the concerns that the public has with policing, but if they're used properly and if the video is preserved, it could be a benefit to both the public and the police. From the officer's perspective, I think there's really two main reasons to use the camera. First, in our society today, more and more police contacts are being video recorded, whether it be in parking lots or in businesses or even walking down the street. And the problem is that video is usually recorded from high above the scene, and it affords a perspective and a point of view that the officer that's down on the ground doesn't have the luxury of having. And so if we're going to critique and judge police officer conduct from the perspective of the officer, which is what the law requires, then it only makes sense that the video be taken from that perspective. The second, you know, big reason that many in law enforcement are supporting the use of body cameras is that they, you know, have already been used to defeat claims of misconduct. You know, previously I've referenced this case in Albuquerque where a young lady was pulled over for a DUI, and after she was brought to the station, she decided to make an allegation that the male police officer had sexually assaulted her in the search back on the street. And, you know, it was ironic that you hear the police officer actually chuckle a little bit, because he knows that the whole stop, the whole search, everything was video recorded, and it ended up vindicating him. And, you know, without body cameras, officers in that position are, you know, their minds racing. They're thinking about, you know, are they possibly at risk of losing their career? And so, you know, I think on the whole, if the cameras are used properly and if the video is preserved, they're going to be helpful to law enforcement, and certainly the public supports it.
Yeah, and the benefits to the public as you see it. And you mentioned that the ACLU is looking for, you know, to help individuals record their own encounters. You see this as a benefit for public rights as well, if police are wearing the cameras.
Sure. It's another step in accountability. I don't think you need to look a whole lot further than the University of Cincinnati, the recent shooting involving Officer Ray Tenzing. And, you know, and you look at the report that officer prepared, and you look at the report of his fellow officers that were at the scene, and, boy, after you watch that video a couple of times, you have to wonder if they were at the same scene that the video depicts. And so there's undeniably a level of public accountability that comes with these. But I think the important thing is that, you know, in my experience, I've represented hundreds of law enforcement officers. I've seen a real shift in opinion on this. I think there was some initial reluctance to it, but as we've gone, further and further post Ferguson, I'm seeing, you know, more and more officers do support it if they're used properly and if the video is preserved.
Well, and there's the tricky bit. It's easy enough to say we need police body cameras and expensive, but easy enough to put them in place. But then, do we have standards? Do we have practices in place for how we use these things, especially here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's the problem. In Wisconsin, there is literally zero guidance to our police chiefs and our sheriffs and the local governments that are considering whether and how to implement these cameras. And, you know, that's a real problem, because within the use of these police body cameras, there's undeniably both privacy rights of witnesses and inside the home, and there's victims' rights issues as well. And so, you know, Wisconsin has an open records law that strongly favors disclosure, and that has historically served our state very, very well. But it doesn't necessarily fit with body cameras. And so we're really, you know, I think a lot of police chiefs and sheriffs are prudently sitting on the sidelines to wait to see, you know, is there going to be any legislation on this? What kind of guidance can they get? And, you know, a number of states have already taken action on this. You know, just recently, North Dakota almost unanimously adopted legislation that concluded that body camera video footage taken from a private place, so inside of a home, was completely exempt from public records disclosure. Arizona went so far as to propose legislation that exempted all body camera footage, whether it be in a public or private place, from open records law. I don't think we need to go that far. I think that's probably a step in the wrong direction. But it's clear there has to be some legislation, some best practices that are put into place if we want our police chiefs and our sheriffs and our local governments to sign on to this. You know, the example I use all the time is, you know, if a new weapon was created and that was going to be distributed to law enforcement officers, there is no way we would want that weapon put on an officer's utility belt until we knew exactly how and when that weapon could be used, you know, in a certain situation. And the same thing is true here with these body cameras. It's prudent to allow these best practices to be developed and to be vetted before we, you know, implement this tool and potentially cause damage to victims, potentially cause damage to, you know, those who have officers that come into their homes and you know, hospital rooms and so on and so forth.
Sam, we'll get into some more of the questions that police body cameras raise. But before we do that, who do you think needs to take the lead here to establish these kind of practices and rules?
Well, I mean, the great thing is that the lead's already been taken. Attorney General Brad Schimmel, about a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, held an open government summit, and this issue was a hot topic discussed at that summit. Clearly, Attorney General Schimmel gets it. He understands this issue. He understands the concerns, I think, on both sides, from the media's perspective and from law enforcement. But it's clear, he's not going to be able to do this alone. Ultimately, you know, what we're seeing in other states is that legislation is being adopted to address this new technology. And so, you know, while Attorney General Schimmel has taken the lead on this, ultimately we're going to need the legislature and the governor to work directly with law enforcement and the Attorney General's office to develop, you know, some changes or some best practices in our current legislation.
We're talking about police body cameras and some of the open records and other issues they could raise with Attorney Sam Hall. Sam, one point you raise in your piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is a practical question. Okay, we've got all this data, all this footage when we have these cameras in place. How do we keep it and how long do we keep it?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a great question that, again, we need some direction from the state on. Wisconsin is one of the few states where we have a 6-year statute of limitations for civil rights cases. So when I represent a law enforcement officer when they're sued for excessive force or for a search claim, the plaintiff has 6 years to bring that claim. And so from my standpoint, I think this video footage ought to be preserved for 6 years. Part of the reason we're implementing these programs is undeniably to protect the officer. And we can't much protect the officer if we're destroying the video footage after 90 days or even after a year. Think back to the Albuquerque example that I mentioned with the young lady who was pulled over for the DUI and alleged that there was a sexual assault. Most of the time, those allegations aren't raised the day of the incident. They're raised months later, sometimes years later. And so I think our law enforcement officers deserve, I think we owe it to them to keep this video footage for the full 6 years in order to protect them from fraudulent claims.
And that could go the other way, I imagine, if somebody does have a legitimate civil rights violation claim and that audio is preserved to the time of the statute of limitations, that will prove their case as well.
Absolutely.
Another issue you look at is when is the camera on, when is the camera off? What kind of issues would factor into that when the state tries to grapple with that issue?
Well, I think a lot of this is going to relate to what kind of legislation, if any, do we see with regard to public disclosure of the video. So, you know, I think if the legislation disfavors public disclosure, I think it's going to allow much more freedom to keep the cameras rolling more often because there's a risk of less harm. But, you know, the issues generally are, you know, criminal victims. If somebody is the victim of, let's say, a sexual assault, how willing are they going to be to be interviewed by law enforcement right after the incident while the camera's rolling. You know, we face difficulty in the state and in the country with having crime victims come forward and report their crimes, particularly those types of violent assaults, and this could add just another layer of difficulty onto it. You know, we also have a lot of police work that is best done, you know, without cameras rolling. There's confidential informants who work, you know, regularly with police to bring down, you know, drug crimes. You know, obviously, those people are going to want to be videotaped. There's issues with, you know, potentially illegal immigrants who may want to help, may want to report crime, and, you know, may be unwilling to do that if there's going to be video documentation of them. And then there's the privacy issues. You know, when police enter a home, you know, in order to conduct interviews or to investigate or even go into hospital rooms, you know, there's video footage that's out in the public domain on YouTube showing, you know, officers going into a hospital room and interviewing somebody. You know, if I'm that person, I wouldn't want, you know, the entire cyberspace to see me in a hospital gown. And so those are also issues that have to be addressed.
Though there could be a case where someone's in their home or in that hospital bed and later claims maybe, I don't know, coercion for testimony from a police officer. So there's a benefit to having the camera on in that situation.
Sure, and I think that's why it's important that we have legislation that protects the officers in that standpoint. So look at what North Dakota did. They said if it's in a private place, it's not subject to public disclosure. Well, that means the officer can keep the camera running. You know, it's not going to be disclosed to the public, but the officer can keep the camera running in that situation, knowing that there's no risk of violating the person's privacy rights because it's never going to, you know, leave the police department.
Very briefly, Sam, as we wrap up, are you optimistic that laws like this can be in place before the cameras themselves are all over the place?
I think so. And I think what we're seeing in Wisconsin is that there's a lot of police chiefs and sheriffs that are prudently standing by. Nationally, about a third of police departments have instituted police body camera programs. In Wisconsin, from my experience, we're well below that average. And I think once, and I don't think that's going to change until there's some best practices established. So if you're out there and you're a proponent of getting more of these police body cameras on the street, the thing to do is to support the creation of these best practices that are going to govern how the cameras are used. And I think from then, you'll see more and more police chiefs and sheriffs begin to institute the programs.
Thanks to Sam Hall, attorney with Crivello Carlson, joining us to talk about police body cameras and laws relating to them here in Wisconsin.